Yo, Josh, how you feeling, buddy?
Oh, dude,
how you feeling on this fantastic Black Tower podcast Tuesday?
You know, I
delayed start edition.
I delayed start edition, indeed. I feel as though I have recovered from death, and I'm not quite to that point. You know, like when you're sick, and then you just get done being sick, and you're like, oh my God, I feel so amazing. I'm not quite to the amazing part, but I'm feeling pretty good. I'm recovering from plague. For those of you who don't know, I haven't cried about it enough on social media. But yeah, no, I'm doing great.
The plague?
It was a plague. I don't know if it was the plague.
Because if it was the plague, dude, that shit is making a resurgence. Because now three people in my office have had it within the last week and a half.
Oh, shit. Don't go outside. Stay inside.
Yeah.
Or you will die.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have bills to pay, which means I have to go to work. So until...
It was a plague.
So until Big Daddy Government gives me even more subsidized money, I'm going to work.
Two Geeks wants me to just take a couple shots and suck it up.
Hey, man, if rubbing alcohol, like, kills germs outside, then drinking alcohol definitely kills germs on the inside.
And
you just might lose a couple of brain cells.
Tells me to leave Mysterious Daggers alone. Look, it was pretty, okay? It was pretty and shiny, and I don't need this from you, okay?
I mean...
Welcome to the Black Tower Podcast.
You don't really have to worry until you start, like, looking at a shadowy corner, pointing the knife at it, and saying, I see you. So,
okay, stone cold moment though.
Speaking of too far gone, yes, we are the Black Tower Podcast. We are a Wheel of Time podcast, and we cover everything in a completely unprofessional and childish manner as often as humanly possible. If there was one major glaring problem, probably the worst problem of all problems with the Wheel of Time, not enough fart
problems.
So that's the big problem, and we're here to fix that problem. But I am your Bajan Mahal, Andrew, and I am joined by our fantastically, Josh. Think of a word that means sick. It starts with F.
Sick.
My alliteration failed.
That's my sick Sorovan Mahal, bro. Yeah.
Check out our sick Sorovan Mahal. He can do backflips.
If you like what we do here at the Black Tower Podcast, we have something I'm actually really excited about. Something that's really cool. We've got two ways to support the Black Tower Podcast. One is hitting the subscribe button, hitting the like button. And guess what? Those are free. You can do that. It's absolutely free. If you like what we do here, go ahead and do that. We thank you for that. If you like it just a little bit more than that and you have the means, we do have a Patreon as well, which gives you access to a ton of Patreon benefits. We've got Patreon exclusive videos. We live stream to our Patreons a week in advance, so you've got access to the live stream, early access to the episodes in case you can't make the live stream. And there's even for higher levels, there's a sticker of the month club, and there's even coins. So you can actually be, it's the modern Black Tower, right? So we don't pin on pins anymore. We will coin you. You could be an Ashaman of the Black Tower. I knew that. I know how to do that. Black Tower Podcast right there. You could be an Ashaman of Black Tower. Carry around one of these little bad boys if you get to a high enough Patreon tier. We try to make it worth it, and every cent that you guys donate to us through Patreon goes right back into the show. Neither one of us do this promotion.
And as proof, patrons have allowed us to get something like this.
That's true.
This is our new dedicated mixer board for our travel podcasting kit, so that when we go to WattCon, JordanCon, Gathering Madness, whatever the case is, Josh doesn't have to tear down his system and us spend the next four episodes trying to iron out the issues after he puts it back together. So that's the kind of stuff it goes into. So we thank you all for that. Thank you, patrons, for letting us do that, enabling that. Whatever makes you feel better about us doing it.
Thank you, Roof Mistress Leia.
Yeah. When we're not using the travel kit, it sits as collateral in the pawn shop so that we can spend the money on other stuff. So that's definitely what happens. like the perfect time for you to mute too, so it would just be like awkward dead silence.
Yeah. I'm trying to mute whenever I have to sneeze or something like that, yeah. Because like I said, I am still in recovery.
Well, anyway, with all that said and done, we are not alone today. We have some fantastic guests that agreed to join us today. We are joined by the fantastic folks from Talk Iran Riyadh.
Ooh, I got to well done.
Damn it, Andrew, we never thought of doing something like that.
The show's too good. We can't. We're not good enough for this show. We have to leave immediately.
It was already here. I just brought it up here.
Man, we are outclassed before we even begin. This is good. Good start.
So welcome, Talk Iran Riyadh, to the tower. Thanks for being here tonight.
Thanks for having us. This is awesome. We've tried to do this once or twice before, and like things kept happening. So I'm glad it finally came together. Oh, I blink a lot. Aware that
yeah. That's my brother. loving it. So we're here tonight to talk about the Wheel of Time, some wheely timey thingies. And before we get too far into that, before we start really talking about our topic, Andrew, do we need to protect our guests from tainty spoilers?
We do. And we're going to do two forms of protection. The first one is so when they go and start searching, they go to search Tell Iran Riyadh, and they do like my brain does and automatically changes the tell to talk. we're going to let our fantastic guests introduce themselves and talk about what they do and where they do it so that our listeners know the difference and hopefully don't fall too victim to the like pseudo dyslexia my brain has now.
That's what my phone autocorrects to Talk Iran Riyadh.
what do you guys do? Where can you be found? Who are you?
We are a Wheel of Time podcast that focuses on the television show and the production of the television show. We like to talk about the news, any news that's come out about castings and, you know, leaked set photos or like locations, things like that. Then we come up with stupid ideas of what we think it's going to actually happen in the show. And then we're terribly all wrong on it. So then we'll also tie things back to the books and like, you know, talk about changes from the books to the show and things like that. So
nice. Yeah.
So way to sell
and you
it,
could
Joe.
Find us anywhere. Yeah. You could find us anywhere. You can find a podcast.
Yeah. So if you look in the show notes or description below, if you're on YouTube, you can click right on their name in the episode title or in the description. And there's also a link to the Talk Iran Riyadh website where you can find everything you could ever need to know that is legal to know about Talk Iran Riyadh. And maybe if you're good at coding, maybe you can find something you weren't supposed to. Who knows?
Yeah.
Don't encourage it. Don't do it. If that happens, I'm not culpable.
We have a secret dark web website as well. So
more than dreams in our world. but yes, like Josh was saying, before we get into today's episode, we're going to go ahead and play what I think is a very fitting spoiler warning for today's episode. So here you go.
This is your official spoiler warning. This episode contains spoilers for all 14 books and the prequel. If you're still listening and you haven't read all these, you want to be spoiled, don't you? Forget it. Getting spoiled without putting in the work? Well, get ready. Here it comes.
What
kind of
podcast is this?
Shout out to North Harbor Podcast for providing that.
Whatever kind of podcast you want it to be.
Mommy, sorry.
That's them because they just finished up with Memory of Light and did their prologue thing, so yep. Which was awesome. Go and check it out. Go and check them out on YouTube and you can find their stuff and tell them I'm here because one of you unlocked the new kink that I apparently didn't know I had over on Black Dot.
They'll love it.
But
they will love it.
Speaking of kind of kinks, maybe we'll see. What are we talking about, Josh?
Well, you know, it's another famous BTP background breakdown. That's where we're going tonight. And as we know, the background breakdown is for characters who might not be main characters. Maybe they're secondary characters. Maybe they're somewhere in between the two. But people don't talk about them enough. We just thought we would give them a little bit of attention, a little bit extra love, a little bit extra time. And tonight, we're talking about the mistress of pleasure herself, the one, the only, the voluptuous beauty, the forsaken Grendel. We're bringing her into the mix because there's a lot to be said for this person. Yeah, that's the intro for her. There's a lot here. There's a lot here. She's a fascinating character, in my opinion. She has a lot of interesting tactics and perspectives.
So, do you happen to know what Grendel means in the old tongue, Josh?
I didn't know I was going to get tested tonight. Thanks.
I'll give you a hint. Look next to the duck icon on your screen.
The vessel of pleasure. Yeah.
Minus the Grendel means vessel of pleasure in the old tongue. Grendel, of course, being her taken name after forsaking the light and choosing to walk in the shadow. Previously being named Camaril Maradim Nindar. And for those of you second age aficionados, that's three names.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which means special. Yeah. She had some talents before she relied on other talents. Yeah. So for our guest here, so we offered a couple different topics, and this was the one that you guys said piqued your interest the most. So I would like to hear why, and that might be a good way to us bring in for us to bring in the discussion on Grendel. I cannot English today.
Yeah, that's a good. I don't even remember what the other options were, but we definitely picked this one. And you know, she's an interesting character because, you know, she's one of the few characters who, you know, makes it quote unquote through the entire series. What I thought was interesting though is about her background, which you don't really. You know, you have it's not mentioned necessarily directly in the books. It's kind of references to it here and there. And then if you read like the big white book, there's information in there, and obviously the companion. But like, right, so she's very different before she turns to the shadow than what we know of her. And I thought that was probably the most interesting thing about her, because a lot of the other Forsaken are kind of similar to what they were prior, just like maybe a little bit, you know, evil with an evil tweak, but she's like almost completely opposite of what she
was. You know what she reminds me of? Like every doomsday movie, there's always at least that one character that goes, "The world's ending. Screw it. I'm gonna just do whatever I want to do. I've been behaving and obeying the laws my entire life, but the world's ending tomorrow. I'm gonna go absolute buck wild." Yeah.
She's like that with like combined with like the evil version of Hot Librarian. It's like she embraced the shadow. She pulled the glasses off. The hair came down.
A Catwoman. That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Like Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman.
That's such a good point. She really did.
She's a psychologist that takes the easy way out of solving your problems. You can't have mental issues if you can't think.
You know what was so interesting that I was reading too, like her whole thing was, I think that's how she earned her third name, right? She was able to basically she was a therapist. Yeah, and she was able to help people with like mental issues.
She could cure mental issues that even the one power could not touch.
That was the interesting thing, like that there was that limit on the one power and healing that it could not heal mental illness. I thought that was so fascinating. That Jordan put that there and made it like that, which is kind of interesting. I'd love to look up notes on that, to be honest with you, if there was anything like behind that, because it's not really something that comes up in the books, like the books proper. I mean, Nynaeve kind of heals madness, but that's like a different kind, right? That's like a taint madness. It's a little different. So I don't remember in the books if there's any other person like with a mental illness that they try to heal and can't.
No, I mean the healing in the time of the books is not anywhere near as advanced to be able to, I think, address something like that. And a lot of the people that like you meet that you think are crazy in the books aren't always that crazy. Like, like I said, it's either the taint and Zidane, or they just really like being a wolf or whatever it is. But I also want to say just to the original question about why Grendel, I think she's one of the most fascinating villains in the series. I mean, she's somebody who for, you know, almost the entirety of the series is always one step ahead of whomever she's dealing with. And I think she's a compelling, she's an interesting villain. You don't see that many villains who don't rely on force at all, right? That everything is a mental game. Everything is manipulation. And you can't even tell like where the line between her being totally dedicated to her own pleasures and her playing mind games with other people, like where that line even sits. So I think I think she's just a really interesting character.
I think the thing I love about her from a character standpoint, just kind of getting into it, is she's actually when you know, she's as Joe touched on, she's a therapist in the Age of Legends, an extremely talented one, was very, very talented in, you know, the conditions of the mind. But she was extremely, she had a very distinct aesthetic whilst existing in the Age of Legends. It was very plain. It was very plain clothing, very minimalist, very contemporary, I guess you could say. I always, you know, kind of like what we hit on before, you know, with the hot librarian kind of a thing, you know, glasses, bun, you know, neck high collar, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, and then she even was kind of like pompous about it. Like, hey, I'm better than you because I've given up these desires of the flesh. I live in such a way in which I'm able to keep full control of myself and I don't have to, you know, la 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 la. And she, when she turns to the shadow, it's exactly like we hit on before already too, and I know I'm reviewing a lot of this, but she just goes, I've lived my entire life this certain way, and where has it got me? It's got me to this point, and it hasn't served me well, hasn't actually gained me anything. And now I'm going to strut my stuff. I'm going to flaunt it because I got it. And she does. And she becomes terrifying. They touch on the books where they talk about how the greatest healers are the ones who can do the greatest amount of damage. And where you've got, and they have to know how to hurt in order to heal and how to heal in order to hurt. And where you've got this person who is so extremely talented in, especially in afflictions of the mind, and now she's evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like to how people just, the Forsaken just like snap and they're like, all right, I'm serving the devil now. Like, that's it. Not only am I going to like be complete opposite of what I was, but that's it. I'm gonna like actually serve, like complete 180.
She did like a. It was like a kind of Catholic schoolgirl repression that she just broke free. You know, she went to college and
just rolling up her skirt. That's things it. And
there, that is absolutely 100% what happened.
She's one of the right. She turned early, right? She's one of the first Forsaken to turn to the second. So, yeah, she's second. Number two. There you go. So
she pulled a Judge Clau Frollo from The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Like, as soon as he meets Esmeralda, he goes from like, I am the most righteous, I let no temptation in, to immediately going, I will burn this entire country down if she says no.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why? Why?
I don't know.
I mean, good question. Grindel, it's, I think it's like assumed that she goes so far to an, it's kind of like you see with the White Cloaks, like they go so far to the extreme of we're the only ones actually pursuing the creator's will and fighting for the light. Therefore, everyone else we meet must be dark friends. Mm-hmm. Whereas Grendel, before she becomes Grendel, is like, well, nobody's ever going to be as disciplined as I am. And instead of going like, I could be a model during these trying times, goes, fuck it. I give up. It's hopeless. Yeah. I'm going to finally have some of that fun. And then immediately remembers just being an absolute torment immediately after she turns her back on her, well, I would say her friends, but I don't know how much she was actually friendly with everybody else in the Age of Legends, considering that Luz Theron absolutely hated her guts.
I was just going to say, can we blame this on Luz Theron? Is there any way to blame this one on Luz? Because most of the other ones go back to how much they hated Luz Theron.
So that's true. She doesn't seem to have a connection that I saw with Luz Theron. So maybe she was being ignored by Luz Theron and she was upset about that. Well, she was aesthetic, right? And Luz Theron seemed like more of like a lavish kind of guy, right? So maybe she was resentful of, didn't approve of the way he lived his life.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like Luz already kind of didn't like her, or it's hinted that he didn't, but after she turns, she murders someone named Yannette. We get no more information other than because Luz Theron got so pissed at Grendel for this, it is assumed that she was important to Luz Theron, and I'm like, okay. Cool. That's about all we get about Yannette. So,
it's just a random name that was on a list that Robert Jordan had to put this in here.
We'll
I love this name.
It's also a common expression.
Coming out about Yannette.
Yeah. It's actually a common expression in Tyr. Whenever Suon would go with her dad to go out fishing, make sure you grab Yannette.
Get me off this podcast.
Damn you, Andrew. Damn you. Yeah.
We were all ears. We were like, I had no idea what you were gonna say.
Didn't know that was coming. Well done.
You're welcome. And Leia's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nasty divorce has a massive glow up and flips off everybody, especially your ex. Great point, immediately followed by my favorite phrase, Andrew, no.
Andrew, no.
Hey, if you don't want me to make jokes about the person's name being a phrase, give me more than they were important to Luz Theron because he was mad when she died.
Because he likes fishing.
You had like two whole extra books to give us more information about every character. If I don't have at least 6 pages about every once named character in the book, it is a travesty and sacrilege.
If Luz Theron cared about her, she was going to be dead soon anyway. So.
Is Yannette in? Is Yannette in the book? Like referenced in the actual books, or is that something from like a side, like a companion or something?
I think it is from the companion.
Grab Yannette. Yeah. Like that's it. That's all I can hear now.
That's all you're going to hear for the entire recording.
Yannette is from the Wheel of Time companion, and there's a little bit of a reference to it in the prologue for Towers of Midnight.
Okay.
Because think someone mentions it to Grendel in Towers of Midnight. I read it somewhere. I might be looking at the wrong page. Hold on.
Wait, is it like a Luz Theron memory?
I didn't think it was. I thought it was like one of the other Forsaken mentioned something to her, but she thinks about it herself because she's worried that Rand Althor will have Luz Theron's memories and still be pissed at her and remember that she killed Yannette.
She killed Yannette.
Yeah,
just picturing Luz Theron's favorite fishing net.
Yeah. You gotta be careful about.
Killed your net.
I killed your net. What you gonna do about it?
What you gonna do about it, Luz Theron? Killed your net.
Take that, Luz Theron.
The lesser known talking fish of Tyr. Oh no, what happened? I killed Jeanette.
That's like it's like the filet of fish, right? It's just it sits over there in every inn.
Sings
about Jeanette. Makes that joke.
Oh my god.
This is
haunts me.
I am very pleased with what I've done here. If nothing else comes of this episode, that will live on.
There you go. You have made your contribution to the Wheel of Time fandom. You know,
a very sad and important name to remember as to why Luce Theron was in part so pissed at the Shadow, reduced to a dad joke in the Third Age.
But no one will forget it, though. No one's going to forget the name now.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
They'll remember
this. Release the Jeanette cut.
Look in the notes, see if there's any more about Jeanette.
Yeah. We have to ask.
Just the Jeanette box.
Go all the way to Charleston to read the Jeanette notes.
That Age of Legends movie that's going to be made, we should ask if Jeanette's going to be in it.
Oh! Should.
Sign a petition.
That is the right time.
It is.
Yes. Who is playing Jeanette?
And if they're like, Jeanette, who's that? We'll be like, fake fans! Get out of here.
You don't know about Jeanette?
Who doesn't know about Jeanette?
Is it even a girl? Do we even I don't know if it's a guy or a girl? Like,
we don't know who
you are. Literally no information.
Well, it is the Age of Legends. No. We don't want to assume. Okay.
Could be a Chora tree for all we know. We have no idea.
That's a ridiculous show.
Is Luce Theron steaming there in his room? Just killed my favorite tree. I called her Jeanette. She always caught me when I fell out this window.
Chopping it down with an axe. Got her.
The true origin story of George Washington and the cherry tree is actually Grendel and Jeanette.
Yes.
The Dora tree.
It's another. So Grendel is George Washington reborn. Is that what it is? So.
I cannot tell a lie, Luce Theron. It was I who killed you.
That's why the Aiel get so mad at the Kyrianans for chopping down a Vendisaur Aldara. Actually, the reincarnation of Jeanette.
How long do you think we could go with this Jeanette thing?
It's getting better the more we go.
I know.
Millennia. Grendel slept for like almost 3,000 years, woke up, and one of her first thoughts was, does he remember about Jeanette?
If he remembers Jeanette, I'm screwed. Hope he doesn't remember it.
Oh shit.
Jeanette the tree put the paradise in Paradisen for sure.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
Captivator of
Ran to see if he remembers who she is.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. So Grendel just there leaning on a on like a pedestal being like, fishing, huh? Is that your net?
You got a pole or a net?
Bring your net.
Oh my god.
Luce Ran comes down with a case of Forrest Whitaker eye, just starts twitching. Grendel runs.
Oh my god.
Ran has the best eyes in film, all right?
He does.
Every time I see Forrest Whitaker on screen, I am immediately happy.
You're not wrong. Like,
he needs to be in more things.
He could play Jeanette.
Him in Star Wars.
Forrest Whitaker as Jeanette. There we go.
Wow. Yeah.
That's our. We got to try to get that.
We make dreams come story. True here.
Forrest Whitaker as Jeanette. Oh my god.
So
now I just can't help but think about.
Thanks for joining our Jeanette episode
about Luce Theron having a flashback, and all you see is like just immediately like Forrest Whitaker's face just staring at you. I love Jeanette.
Jeanette was his fishing buddy.
Makes sense that Jeanette was a nickname because just like Jeanette, you always bring your fishing buddy.
Yeah, you bring his fishing buddy. His nickname was Jeanette. His real name was Forrest Whitaker.
That was it. That's it. Totally. We're solving mysteries today, guys.
Still might be the funniest murder of Grendel's that we talk about.
Oh man.
Sorry.
Oh, you guys did an episode on Grindel. What did y'all talk about for like
10 minutes? Did we do it? Did we do a Grindel episode?
No, he's saying
the future. We did, yes. Episode 69 was about Grindel, wasn't it?
No, that was
nice.
We had delusions on.
No, that was sex.
Oh, that was just sex. Oh, we must have done it.
Come on, Jim.
How could I confuse that? I'm sorry. I just assumed. Gosh.
I was just going to say, though, 69 would be an appropriate episode number to cover Grindel, though. Like,
yeah.
Well, we had delusions of Grindel on, but we talked about sex in the Wheel of Time. But yeah, perfect. We got like the trifecta there.
There you go. Well done. Well, I do like, as Andrew was saying, she escapes the boar, and literally one of her first thoughts is, I hope there's not a loose Theron in this age. And I hope that he doesn't remember that I killed Yannette, that I killed Forrest Whitaker, because I'm screwed if that's the case. She is one of the Forsaken who is not really ambitious, but is also like super, super smart and thoughtful and plotting and planning. I often look at her. You guys remember the board game, The Game of Life?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be playing The Game of Life and you'd get the $100,000 salary or whatever, and someone would always steal it from you. Always. Right? You could never hold on to that thing.
Oh, my dad. Those are good days when $100,000 salary felt like you were rich.
You were doing pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my dad taught me, you know, because I used to complain that every time I got the good salary, like someone would take it from me. And my dad was like, yeah, that's why you don't go for the good salary. Someone's going to take it from you. Go for the second best or the third best. Go for the $90,000 or the $80,000 salary. And I was like, huh. And he was right. As I watched the game, everybody always goes for the number one salary because they always want that big payday. But if you go for the second salary, you get that big payday the whole time. And it's a much larger payout at the end of the game. Grindel is that person. She doesn't want to be nameless. She wants to just be like, I'm going to stay over here in the shadow. I'm going to have my orgies with all the nobility that I've kidnapped and turned into furniture. Let me just have my kinky BDSM den and leave me alone. Yeah. It's kind of an interesting like divergent from the rest of the Forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from like absolute minimalist servant to dommy mommy. Like that. Like Lanfear does it and she's like, ah, good enough. And you get a cool new name? Like, come on. What's not the love?
Yeah. And yeah, she doesn't really have a clear-cut like end game just to kind of be around. I mean, she has little plots going on here and there, but you never really, I don't know if you ever like get a big picture of what she's trying to achieve, except maybe just survive. Like, I think she feels like she wants to be the last man standing.
Yeah.
And she she's fun because she does a lot of things and then blames it on other people, like, you know, like frames other people for doing it. So that's always fun.
Oh, yeah. Normally that other person winds up dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm starting to see a pattern here that I'm not so sure I like.
Yeah. Well, I guess she got found out too. And it didn't work out for her.
She wasn't very good at it.
She was good.
I mean, she was good at making sure they died, not good at making sure she didn't get busted.
That's true. I guess it's hard though to hide from the I guess she didn't see the giant fade Shadow Haran coming into the picture, I guess.
And we got away with it too. It wasn't for you meddling fade.
Pulls the mask off the fade, right? It's old man Carruthers. From the amusement park.
Guys runs a haunted amusement park. Yeah. Would have got away with it if it weren't for you snooping kids. Love it.
Yeah, that's why she's so fun, I think.
Yeah, I.
What do you think, Jen? Do you have like a favorite Grendel moment from the book?
Oh gosh.
Or least favorite, depending on your perspective, I guess.
I like her with Samael. I think they're like fun together because they're not like friends, but they're like they make like a good team for a little while, and then they're. I feel like as soon as it cuts away, one of them is like planning on overthrowing the other one, or you know, doing something against them, but. It's they're entertaining together. I like them.
Yeah, doesn't she try to set him up but winds up getting kind of backfires on her?
Yeah, well she they manipulate each other a lot throughout the series. I agree with Jen. That's like one of my favorite dynamics in all the books. But yeah, she like sets him up to like wanna kill Rand as much as possible, but then he like plays her and makes her think that he's been promised Nameless, and then like they just kind of bounce off of each other until he's out of the picture. Right? They do all the stuff with the Shaido where they give him the idiot boxes, and, you know,
the idiot boxes, them all over the
place,
right? I think all her stuff. I love her. You know, every time the Forsaken talk to each other and you get like from one of the Forsaken's points of view, right? It's always like biased about, you know, about everybody else because they hate each other. But everyone just basically talks about like how you can't get one-on-one with her. She'll just manipulate you. Like, and they just know it. And I think it speaks to like, again, like she's not somebody who's out there in front, like saying like, hey, I'm going to take over this country and I'm going to build up an army and I'm going to do all this stuff. But everyone just kind of knows, like, just leave her alone. Because if if you get involved one-on-one, like, chances are you're not going to come out on top. Which I don't know. I think she's a formidable foe. And I like how, you know, when Rand tries to deal with her, he's like, I know how I'm going to deal with this. Like, it's like a... I'm going to do a Gordian knot solution. I can't outthink her, so I'm just gonna destroy her, like, from a distance. And that doesn't even work, you know?
She's like so, that,
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I was trailing off. You jumped into the right time.
Okay. Oh. I mean, totally planned. Professionals. So she's like that person that has access to all the right tools. And has the capability to do whatever she plans, but just falls off at the execution at the critical point. Mm-hmm. Like with Samael, she's trying to like allure him with like the wealth of beauty and actual like wealth she's accumulated, because Samael is very much into all of that as well. She's like, oh, this is the Shaboan and the Shabote that I've taken from Sahara, and just look at all of this that I've done, and is with the aim of getting him so pissed that he defies his literal boss, owner of his soul, and kills Rand anyway, and then is completely ashamed when it backfires, and Samael instead just looks at it like it's the most obvious plan, says, yeah, no, I think I'll just sit back and relax and watch you all fight. She panics, tries to fix it, and then Samael just uses it, tricks her into telling him where Masana is. And then at the end, she's just like Hagrid from like the first Harry Potter movie. Just, should not have said that. Should not have said that. And then she's just like, okay, well, I've made a mistake. Let me follow him around now just to make sure that nobody finds out it was my mistake.
It's and then fun Samael, when
you like calls her a name.
Yeah, it's fun with the whenever you get a Forsaken point of view and they're interacting with each other, it's so fun because they're so paranoid. Yeah. Like everything, they're just examining and looking at every little detail of like if they're at a place that Samael chose, you know, looking at the background and oh, he put that teacup there for a reason, and it's like,
oh yeah,
and you're thinking like, oh wow, these people are really keen and in tune, and it's like, I'm like, no, they're fucking paranoid is what it is. They're putting like old meaning behind things that have no meaning behind them. So it's you get those with all those interactions with Grendel and Samael and whoever else they wind up. I think the Raveen is involved for a while. Like when they all meet and have that, it's just, and especially from her point of view, you get a lot of that like paranoia. But I guess when you're evil, hanging out with the most evil of evil people, you have to be paranoid.
I think that's a really fun sort of point too, because I always get like I like what Jen was talking about with Grendel and Samael and how they have that sort of like frenemies where they like try and kill each other, but they can't, and they're always just like, oh, oopsie, haha. and then they have all these like meetings, and they're just, oh god, it just kills me so much. They're always so on edge. And you're just like, wow, you guys are really inept. Like, you guys should really be better at this. And you're not. It's because you're so worried about yourselves.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys would join forces, and this is actually something I think the TV show did a really, really fantastic job with, where, of course, in the TV show, where Shamael's like, hey, I'm only going to let Lanfear go. I'm going to collect the rest of the Forsaken, but I'm only going to release Lanfear because I know how to control her. And if I have my eyes on these guys, I know they're not going to get out, but I have that in my pocket as like an ace up my sleeve. But he doesn't want to let the rest of them go. He doesn't want them to, he doesn't want to have to try and control them. And he knows they're not controllable. And I think that's something that the TV show did really, really well. And it wasn't until Lanfear had basically said, screw you, I'm going to Lanfear off and do my own Lanfear thing, that Shamael was like, all right, cool. I'm going to set all the other Forsaken free.
I don't need it's not going well.
I was thinking it's kind of their relation. Samael and Grendel are kind of like the way they portray like a Shamael Lanfear on the show, where like they just say flat out, like, I know you're going to betray me. And then like the second they're apart from each other, they're like, okay, we have to get rid of that. Like, we got to get rid of Lanfear. Like, she's done. Like, but they're having like some nice drinks together and like hanging out. Everything's great. You know,
it's the Tenacious D Two Kings. Emergency meeting in Parliament.
Yeah.
Cage can't be king anymore. Seriously, he's encroaching on all my decrees.
Be a duke, a kick-ass duke,
Well, Grendel's the one who brings Samael, right? We talked about this on the Samael episode. She's the one who brings Samael to swear allegiance to the Dark One. She, I guess, recruits him. So I guess they've got that connection too from the Age of Legends.
Nice. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
I also love that, like, so we read all these interactions and now, you know, we get to start seeing them in the TV show of the bad guys just simply not trusting each other. Mm-hmm. And there's a weave out there that Grendel is the best of the best with that you could use to know for sure if they're lying to you or not.
Yeah.
Compulsion. And you spend, I spent a fair part of the books like, okay, I understand why the good guys don't use it because we're good guys and we just don't do bad things. Okay, fine. But it's like, why did the Forsaken never use compulsion to know for sure what's going on? And then finally, Grendel does it in the most inopportune time whenever the two other Forsaken she's talking to, Sindane and Mogideon, are actually telling the truth. You're done goofed. You're no longer on your own free will. And this person who you think, at least you have never heard of, is now in charge of everything you do. And she goes, oh, they're clearly lying. I'm going to use compulsion to find the truth. What do you mean they're not lying? And then a fade shows up and starts talking, and she immediately just melts and goes, whatever you say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shadowrun's just like, good, good.
Yeah, you're right. She didn't use enough compulsion on people who mattered in the book series. She always used it on like just like these her toys and her furniture, like you said, Josh. She doesn't really use it on like any of the main characters, or you'd wonder why like the Forsaken don't you try to use compulsion on each other more often.
Does it I think like more powerful? Like, if she tried to use it on Samael, would it?
I don't know. Does strength of the power have anything to do?
I don't know.
Like,
I think it's more along the lines of like,
in this case.
Yeah, I think it's more like it better work. Because Gideon
was stronger than her.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if they find out you did it, right?
Yeah, if they see you casting the weave, they're gonna kill you.
But you can, can mask and invert and all that stuff, so they can't tell. But I don't know, they might have protection like Tyrangrial or stuff like that might prevent. Right. But
you're just watching weaves in the air, and you're like, huh. It looks like a photo negative of compulsion.
that's just incense. I'm burning incense.
Yeah, right.
For the mood.
Actually, the inverse of compulsion. It's freedom. I'm making sure you have free will. It's fine.
Like, doesn't Leandrin try to compel Mogedion?
She tries.
Yes.
And it doesn't work.
She tries.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely failed.
Yeah. Is it because of the power? Was the power level different?
I know.
Or I can't remember why that doesn't work.
I think that's a skill error.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she's just so much more powerful than her too that she just cuts right through it. Yeah, you'd have to be pretty. It'd have to be really subtle.
Yeah.
Extremely subtle compulsion.
Yeah, because it's like it's almost a snare, right? Like you have to. It has to be in place. Yeah. So you have to get the weaves to the person. It has to be in place for it to be an effective use.
It's described as looking a lot like Yannette, but made of power.
So. I'm going to start throwing things. Damn it, Andrew.
I should have seen a callback coming, but I didn't. You still got it.
It's interesting. We talk about Grandal using compulsion a lot, and she actually does use compulsion. It almost becomes her demise, and it's actually by a little bit of a unfortunate series of events, it becomes a way that she's able to hide for a little while longer. That's right. when they find out, when Rand finds out that one of the Forsaken is hiding at Natron's Barrow, they go to investigate. And, you know, one of the people who are leaving the castle are like, hey, I need to talk to you. Rand delves this person and is like, oh, there's like a very serious compulsion on this guy. We need to go in there because that's where Grendahl is. But Grendahl didn't lay the compulsion on the dude specifically. She had compulsion on everybody else. She had someone else lay a compulsion on this guy.
Was it one of the Black Aja? Was it?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
Dalana and Arangar were there.
Arangar.
So it was one of the two. It was either Dalana or Arangar.
No, it was Dalana. Yeah. It was Dalana. I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Rand does probably one of his biggest tragedies in the books and balefires the entirety of this palace. There's, you know, however many people that are just innocent in there, and they're horrified. They're like, Rand, how could you do that? And he's like, okay, trust me. Everybody there was already under compulsion to the fact that it was completely and totally unremovable. And if you tried, it would just destroy the mind of the person. And this guy, the servant that they had, they were like, delve him again to see if he's still under compulsion. Rand checks him again. The compulsion's gone. Because the person who laid the compulsion has been balefired effectively. Well, Grendahl was super clever in this moment. Not only was she able to escape, like open a gateway at the last second, but she was able to ensure that they thought she was dead. She was able to essentially give herself a death certificate and remain hidden for a little while longer.
Well, kind of like. It was still like a rush job because she was using a weave that let her like watch the guy's name.
It was like Ramshalon.
Yeah. Ramshalon. She was watching him with a weave through like the eyes of a dove. Which weird choice for spy bird, but you know, you do you. It's a pretty bird, I guess. That's
yeah.
And then like it's just watching. Sees Rand do something. He probably like holds up his hand like Vegeta doing Big Bang Attack at Natsu's Burrow. She goes, oh shit, panic shields Arangar and Delana and just gateways the hell out of there, thus making her responsible for the death of now a second Forsaken.
That's right. That's right.
You might even lay out some right, like Samael, you could kind of lay at her feet, right? Because wasn't she the one who like pushing him to attack Rand and try to kill Rand?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I mean, you've got Asmodian, you know, Arangar, Samael,
which and Masana. I think Masana, and then Arangar.
That's right. She gives up Masana too, which leads to her death. Yeah.
I feel like Grendel doesn't get enough attention for this bit too. Who killed Asmodian was one of the greatest Wheel of Time gaffes from way back in the day, from the earliest days. Like, it was, I guess it was the first like viral sort of Wheel of Time thing, right? I remember seeing bumper stickers in the wild and being like, hey, they're reading the Wheel of Time. And it for years it was this like, okay, so who killed him? Like, who killed him? 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 And then
I don't know who that person is.
When people would ask Robert Jordan, he'd say it should be intuitively obvious. Yes. And we're all going,
he was so smug like that, wasn't he?
Which is a fantastic contrast. Somebody would have like this like maniacal Venn diagram like thread trail idea, and then his response would be the opposite, like the equivalent of his age of touch grass. Like,
yeah,
you need to do something else with your life.
I remember like when I was first reading the books, I would go online, you know, this is back in like the early 2000s, late 1990s. I'd go online and there was only like a couple of websites out there, Wheel of Time, right? Like there was Dragonmount and Theoryland and Wattmania. And then there was the FAQ, and they had a whole section because this was before it was like, you know, anyone knew who the killer was. Like, there was a whole section just devoted to who killed Asmodee, and it went through like all of the characters and like literally like went through processes of elimination.
Oh my god.
Like, you know, this person wasn't there, they were at this place, blah blah blah, blah. And it was that's like so cool. And they had it, they had Grendel was the most likely kill, like there wasn't for sure, but they were like, they were strongly had good evidence for Grendel just because she had like the motive, the means and opportunity, you know, to put it in a Law and Order sense. But yeah, so they were right too, and it she was the, it just the, it was a little weak though, the connection. But like, it's supposed to be she was working with Ravine, right? She goes to Camelin and is surprised that Ravine's dead, sees Asmodian there and kills him. I guess I don't know why. There's really no, it's really not a good motive, but
well, it was trading. It's a good, he was trading Rand. They basically say any Forsaken would kill him if they got a chance to.
Yeah.
And I think that's well, your
Lanfear didn't. She used
well,
him.
Done, Joe.
He even says, I think they even say at some point, Asmodian even says at one point, I'm teaching you how to channel. I'm a dead man, no matter where I go. If I go back to, I can't go back to the Forsaken, they'll kill me. I can't go to, you know, the forces of the light. I can't go to, you know, where am I supposed to go? Carrion? Like, no, that's not gonna happen. I'm going to die. I am loyal to you, Rand, because I will die literally anywhere else. Literally everywhere else, I will die. And
yeah.
I think we are, you know, normal, non-murdering people, and therefore the connection is weak to us. Right? If you put yourself in Grendel's skein dress and walk a mile in her sexy slippers, you'll see that she's like, first of all, this guy's competition. Streeth is a streeth. That's what it is. Secondly, this dude is, you know, actively strengthening our enemy. Thirdly, nobody's seeing
Nobody's here. Nobody can see. So I can just do it and just walk away and nobody will ever know. And even Rand is just like, yeah, Asmodean disappeared. Cool.
Oh, well.
Right.
Yeah. He's gone.
He's just gone. We should probably look into that at some point. Proceeds to never think about it again.
Yeah. Right.
He's still out of his mind. Jeremy Clarkson. Oh, no. Anyway.
But you know what? That's kind of uncharacteristic of Grendel. She doesn't usually just kill people right off herself, right? You would think she would try to manipulate him, and now she knows where he is. And
but didn't he walk into a room that she was in?
Yeah, he opened the door or something.
We don't know where.
I think she panicked. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a panic.
I think it was like, you know, whenever like Avienda was like committing an atrocity against Aiel Honor and using water for anything other than to take sparing sips of. And Rand walks in and she panic runs off to the enemy's like snowy lands.
Yeah.
Grendel's like just like chilling, being herself for once in a room where she's alone. And then Asma walks in and she's like, die. You saw me as I am. Can't be allowed.
It's like Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction. Oh man, you shot Marvin in the face when he shoots. He gets startled that he accidentally shot the guy. Yeah, that's probably what it was. That has to be what it was, right? That's the only thing that makes sense.
It's
intuitively
now,
obvious.
Asmo opens the door, goes, "Oh, it's you?"
Yeah.
And she just goes, "Ha!"
Maybe that was the bathroom he was going into.
Well, she was like changing, yeah.
Yeah, she was on the
floor. She's like, bellfire.
She's
no
the
victim. No one can see me and live.
It was like every scene from every anime ever where the guy walks into the bathroom without knocking. And it's always like, it's always the girl overs in the bathroom and they get like Kamehameha'd out of the house or something.
Are we saying Grendel is a tsundere?
A tsundere? Is that what it is? I mean, she absolutely is. Absolutely. I also don't recommend putting that in your Google search. Don't put tsundere in your Google search unless you have safe search on. Trust me.
Trust you.
Don't search anything anime without safe search on. Don't.
That's valid. That's valid. Yeah.
So again, in a continuing panic, she goes, "Oh, I have killed now my third, maybe fourth Forsaken." She has a higher KD against the Shadow Forsaken than most people fighting for the Light do right now.
Combined, right?
Yeah. Like, the only one challenging her on that is literally the savior of humanity.
Right? Yeah.
And Grendel just, like, panic runs to a random, like, island in the Aerith Ocean. Is like, I'll be fine here. And then the guy that she doesn't even know that she now has the obey shows up. So Morden shows up and he's pissed. He's like, "Yeah, you killed another one of us. Not just you killed one of us, you let one of us die. You have killed another one." And she's like, "Well, what if this time I kill somebody I'm supposed to kill? I'll go kill Aaron. I swear.
Just this time,
let me use your dream spike and let me use your minion Slayer and I'll get it done. No questions asked."
Tools.
Which that's she goes to try to do. And it's not... I mean, you don't really see Grendel's name in the book too long after this, but you do see Perrin's. So I'll let you be the guess at who won.
She doesn't really do anything. She just gives Slayer the dream spike and says, "Go kill Perrin." That's about
it. I will kill Perrin, and then literally gives it to someone else and says, "Go kill Perrin."
Yeah, go kill Perrin. Here's the dream spike. I'm just gonna do whatever. Yeah, she seems to be plotting against the Forsaken more than she's plotting against the good guys.
I like to think that Morden and Shadar Haran are sitting in front of like a literal television set that's just watching Grendel. Like immediately after handing over the dream spike and Slayer and just going like, "Are you fucking serious?
You believe this fucking thing?"
She's good at delegating.
She's that boss that makes you go and pick up all the boxes and clean the storeroom but never gets out of their chair to do anything.
Yeah, and then takes all the credit for it.
Yeah.
She she does. She has like one kind of sort of what I think is a capstone moment in her clever nature, which also leads to one of the most tragic pieces of the story as well. And that is after all her failures and after all this, she gets killed and resurrected. But this time she's, quote, hideously disfigured and astonishingly ugly,
mm-hmm.
and is given the name Hesalam, which means without forgiveness in the old tongue. And the thing that I think that is like supremely clever about this is that in this, they misunderstood her. They underestimated her, because she straight up says at one point in time, it really doesn't matter what I look like. What matters is how, like, I can get people to be devoted to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts using compulsion to ensnare people to be just obsessed with her, to think that she's the most beautiful thing ever. Which the tragedy here is that she catches Ruark in that snare. Yeah. And he ends up dying. But I love the underestimation there. I love that they're like, oh yeah, she's all about, you know, she's got this beautiful, voluptuous, curvy body. She's all about showing it off. She's all about, you know, the hedonism and the you know, she's got her little BDSM dungeon and whatnot. And they think that if they bring her back ugly and gross, that she'll be, you know, she'll be punished and she'll be so hurt and upset. And it's like, nope, actually, no, you guys got that way wrong. She's not hurt or upset. She doesn't care about that. What she cares about is that control. That's the ability. That's the thing she is most attractive with or most powerful with. And it's just real cool to see her as a character be so underestimated by the people that are supposed to know her the best.
Mm-hmm. Still love the moment. So like they're in Tel Ramriad, or as Perrin calls it, the wolf dream. there's a word with two commas is too complex. or not commas, the apostrophes. The opposite of the comma.
Apostrophes.
Yeah. The superscript to the subscript that is the comma.
That's the one.
And Perrin's sitting there just like watching her using compulsion on the great captains, and he's like, that's not good. And she turns around, notices him, and she's like, you're the reason all the bad stuff happened to me. And he's just like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah, right?
I've never seen you before in my life.
So I got enough going on, lady. Right. You know.
But this might be the moment where, besides her direct or adjacent murdering of four Forsaken, she gives the best gift that she ever gives to the Force of the Light. And we get the infamous line from Perrin, it's just a weave.
Yeah.
Because she tries to bellfire Perrin, and Perrin's just like, no. Nah.
Yeah. He doesn't even know what bellfire is, right? Yeah. Like,
no.
So I guess it's kind of the ignorance helps too, that he doesn't know what is, that he's not like, he doesn't have the fear.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody else who knows what balefire is, he's just like, what's this? Oh, okay.
One of those things, like, feels like it almost feels like a Confucian, like, saying, like, that only people that understand that something's terrifying are actually scared of it.
Yeah.
It sounds like a proverb or something like that. I'm sure somebody way more famous and older than I has said something like that.
Sure.
But
that definitely sounds like a proverb.
But they do have a pretty cool fight in the World of Dreams. And Perrin puts his limited knowledge of channelers to use and imagines, like, or conjures Forkrud in her mouth, which apparently Grendel's familiar with, because she immediately goes, oh no.
Yeah.
And leaves the key card, opens the gateway again, and dips out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, the old fall backwards through a gateway trick.
Yeah, that's the Perrin's use the old fork root trick, like from Malden, right? That's
yeah, which is quite brilliant. Like, it's real nice in the final book to see Perrin, I don't know, do something.
He does a lot in those last three books.
He's got a lot of good stuff. Energy, like for like just the first 8 to 9 books.
Well, yeah,
he's building up. He's building up momentum.
He's edging us. He's edging us.
That's what all the muscles actually were. It was him slowly storing energy to actually do something for the plot.
He's like a bear hybrid, you know, storing for winter or whatever.
That's why he was really pissed. He couldn't hibernate. He had to go and do stuff.
That's right. I don't blame him. He had to go. He had to go rescue his wife.
Yeah. Oh. So as Seslam, she goes to Shao Gul and she's fighting with the aid of Bashin and Faloin or Falane, however you want to say her name. And is just like continuously throwing balefire at Avienda because when all else fails, go for the nuclear option that, you know, literally just got unraveled in your face in the world of dreams.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Avienda gets behind her, attacks her. Grendahl Heslam uses her now signature move of disappear via gateway. So this time she uses the true power to do it. And so both her and Avienda get pulled from this, but Dahara and Valin are killed in the attack. Thus her adding the bodies of two more forces, people fighting for the shadow to her kill count. And then, well, no, later Avienda finds her again. Avienda doesn't fall through with her. And along with Amiss and Cad Swain, and they all are fighting. Avienda is enraged at her for killing Ruark, clearly, as we all are.
Yeah.
That's your biggest L. And making him look like a fool, and attacks her with spears of light and fire. And also Haslam winds up getting stabbed in the side. And her and Avienda kind of do this like small war of attrition thing where they're kind of going back and forth and they're slowly getting weaker. And Avienda gets shielded. But before that, Avienda ties off a gateway. And then the shield gets dropped because Haslam is getting too weak. So Avienda's like, I'll just untie the gateway and go for the nuclear option because it worked great the first time. Haslam is like, no, you don't. I'm going to use compulsion. And they both technically fail, but Avienda has better plot armor. So the now frayed weaves from the gateway lash out, backhand like a pimp named Slickback, the weaves of compulsion, and turn Haslam from I want to kill all of you into Avienda, you are the greatest thing that has ever graced this world.
Yeah.
And she basically falls down. Worshipping Avienda to the point where Avienda's like, yeah, I can't really walk. I'm pretty messed up. Hey, person that really messed me up, carry me back to camp.
Is Avienda conscious? Or isn't there reference to like the woman dragged Avienda back and Avienda was unconscious? Maybe by the time they got back.
I think she might have fallen unconscious shortly after being like, take me back or something
Maybe? Yeah, because I feel like, because I remember like people wondering, who's that woman who brought Avienda back here unconscious or something like that? And nobody knows who she is.
Wonderful girl.
And that's it. That's the last we hear of Heslam. So she supposedly survives the last battle. We don't know. I assume when Avienda is okay, she tells them who she is or that she's evil and they figure out who she is. And then who knows what they do with her.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting...
Who's the one that's mind gets turned into absolute mush? Is that Grendahl?
Yeah.
Is her mind absolute mush other than her, like, adoration of Avienda?
Yeah, I think she's kind of, like, super compulsed where she's, like, kind of, like, one of her own victims where she's, like, basically foregone. Like, there's really nothing you could do to reverse it.
So, you know, live by the husk, go down by the husk.
Facts.
I wonder if she has all her memories, like if they could question her and find out like things.
That's the one I was thinking of. Asana getting mushy minded by
Egwene. Oh yeah, yeah. Egwene just kind of crushes her mind.
Yeah. Masana like just goes full, like becomes essentially a vegetable. Yeah. Grendahl's like a slightly different version of mush.
Yeah. She's just obsessed with Avienda, really.
Yeah.
Which is honestly the right move. Fair. But we all should be.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. It's not a bad way to end, I guess. In the end, Grendel won then, I guess, right?
I mean, imagine being in the middle of a life and death battle, and in a bright flash, you're suddenly enthralled and in love at first sight with somebody right in front of you, and you get to carry them and save their life?
Yeah.
You can't, you know, the Brothers Grimm didn't write better stories than that. Disney can't write a better love story than that.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, we like to wrap things up with our final thoughts. So, our Takaran Riad folks, what are your final thoughts when it comes to old Heslam/Grendel?
I hope we get to see her very soon in the television show. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, do you think she's going to be in season 3, or we're going to have to wait to season 4 to meet her? I mean, she's one of those, you know, presumably one of those Forsaken statues was her.
Yeah, she's been named on the show. Mm-hmm.
That's right. She's been named. So that's my final thought. Like, when are we going to see her on the TV show? And who do you have anyone have any fan casts for her? I hate fan casting. I don't even know why I just said that, but I apologize. You can remove this from the podcast. <if you
want. laughs> No, well, we've already got a fan cast. We've already got a petition that London River.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I was
going
to suggest Jennifer Coolidge, but I think she's a little too old.
Yeah, at this point.
Like that.
People used to say, what's her name? From Mad Men.
Christina Hendricks.
Yeah. That used to be one of them back in the day. Yeah, I don't know nowadays. Oh, what's her name? Who's the she was just on Saturday Night Live. Sydney Sweeney.
She's like 11.
Yeah, she's too young.
She's in her
20s. Yeah, you need a little bit older.
She's got the Grendel appearance.
She does. Yeah, I think Grendel's, I think as we've proven here, tonight, Grendel's awesome. She's an underrated, underappreciated, villain. And I did not realize until we really elucidated it here, how many bad guys she kills. So good on her.
Yeah, she's responsible for the deaths of a lot of bad people. She's
the best player on their team.
Cold War sleeper agent.
She's like the kid who kicks the ball in the wrong goal, like in your own, an own goal,
like 8 times. You're like, get off the field, fuck. Shit,
that would work perfect with Jennifer Coolidge's voice. Like, if you look at it as her every time she's sorry and apologetic, is just sarcasm. Like,
oh no, Asmodean, I'm sorry.
Now that you're talking about Jennifer Coolidge as Grendel, I'm just picturing her as Irene from Pootie Tang as Grendel. If you've ever seen the movie Pootie Tang,
I don't remember.
Oh my god!
I guess you've seen it, Josh.
I haven't thought about that movie in years.
It's such a great movie. But yeah, she's out. You remember Irene? That was her character there.
Oh shit!
And she would just, she was sent to seduce Pootie Tang, and she would just really, all she would do is just rub up against him and push him up against the wall and just kind of bounce off of him. That's Grendel.
That's
putting
compulsion.
Yeah, that's compulsion. Now I need to make a gif.
Staring somebody in the eye.
Come on.
Yes, you do. We need that. The world needs that gif.
Oh my god.
You get on that. Oh god, okay.
Josh,
I can do this.
Josh, you need back to the bed.
That's exactly what's gonna happen. When we sign out of here, I'm gonna go lay down. Grendel, yeah, no, as Tom, as you said it, man, it's just, she's an underrated character. This is exactly why we want to do these background breakdowns too, is because we want to shine a light on some of these. You know, we read the books and we go, oh yeah, that's cool, that happened. But I don't think we think about the significance of some of these mm-hmm. Interactions, some of these events. And Grendel has a lot of them. And She's got a body count. I think she's got the highest body count of Forsaken.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Like, it's her or Rand.
It's her or Rand. Rand kills the same one a bunch of times, so that doesn't even count.
It does.
That still only counts as one.
He's got an asterisk by his kill count. Grendel, pure. Pure kill. Right.
He's got an asterisk. He did it. There was more games in the season.
There's more games in the season.
When he did it. So he's the Roger Maris of Forsaken Killers. Great. That makes Grendel the Babe Ruth.
Rand just sat there and like spawn camped several Forsaken. Like, oh, you respawned? Now all I can hear is like Gimli being like, still only counts as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What about you, Jen? Did you get a chance?
Yeah.
Oh, after Josh finishes. Sorry.
No, that's how I was just going to say the exact same thing.
What?
Any final thoughts, Jen?
My final thoughts? No, I'm excited to see Grendel. I think she'll make a very good television character. She'll bring her sexuality. I think that's what a lot of people want to see on screen nowadays. So, but yeah, I think she's got the potential to be an entertaining character. And I don't know if we'll see her this season. Maybe next season. I feel like we definitely have Moghedien and maybe Samael. Well, yeah, we think Samael.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know if we'll get Grendel too, but you never know. We might get everybody. Right. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Season 3, all 2,700 named characters
coming at you.
But just for giggles, we only do 4 episodes.
The end credits are just longer than the episode.
If you catch this one frame in the exact middle of the season, you'll see a composition piece by Ariel Burgess and Joe from Twatcast that features the likeness of every named character from the books.
Get on it.
I love it. Grendel is I think fun is probably like one of the best words. Like, I loved reading Grendel's point of views. Like, they were equal parts you're evil but also like you're a little like children of the lighty, where you're also like ineffective for the cause you should be fighting for. Mm-hmm. But I guess when your literal reason for flipping your entire persona was nobody else can be as good as I, so I'll just be the worst. I don't really know why the bar was set higher. But she definitely low, but
Jesus.
She definitely earned a bunch of like bronze and silver stars for her service to the Force of the Light. That's for sure. But this is what makes like doing the background breakdown so much fun. Cause like Josh said, there's this like vast sea of like under talked about characters that deserve to be talked about more. Mm-hmm. And you will be surprised at how much you will enjoy what you find when you cast out your net and catch as many.
I knew it was coming.
And that's my final. Oh,
speaking of season 3, are we going to see you guys at the Watt Fantasy League?
Oh yeah. You know, I was following that a little bit towards the end there. I was definitely interested. That looked really fun.
Well, we need Wolf Brother is currently the holder. His team is Wolf Brother is currently the holder of the championship belt.
Oh.
So if you guys feel like you can maybe come in and take a shot at the champ, we'll let you know when we start getting information about season 3. We're going to start getting, and it's really fun because as you guys were saying in the opening, you'd like to talk about the TV show, you like to make predictions, and then be completely wrong about all the predictions.
Very wrong.
It's actually something that makes the fantasy league a lot of fun because we all have ideas of what happened in the books. We all know what happened in the books. We all have theories about what's going to happen in the show.
Yeah.
And then
Matt drinks mushroom tea and goes on a trip, right?
It's everyone's great. Bingo good card. Times.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this before we Ray,
there are many like it, but this one is <Yeah. laughs>
this is my butter knife tied to a stick.
I'm gonna need a bed sheet, a stick, and a lightsaber knife.
And an evil cursed dagger.
Go ahead and remind the people where they can find you again and who you are and what you do.
Yeah, just click on the link in the notes somewhere of this wonderful podcast that you're listening to or watching. I'm sure there's a link there and you can check us out. Yeah, check out an episode. And then be hooked and listen to every episode.
Yeah, you can find us on all the traditional social media platforms. We've got our own Discord channel and all the rest of that stuff. We're Taco Remriad. This is pretty much what you get, just only 60% of it.
Well, thank y'all so much for carving out some time to come and talk to us about a little bit of Grendel and a lot of other stuff. which is my favorite way for our episodes to go. That's not even sarcasm. I love it. Like, oh, we have a topic. And so many times it winds up being like half a completely different topic. And
it's
the best thing ever, especially when I get to make this many like horrible dad style jokes.
But, the best. I'll be laughing about it tomorrow. We'll be like, what happened? Like, I can't explain. But it's pretty good. Yeah.
It's the joke. You think that it's what are you laughing at? You wouldn't get it.
Even if I explained it would not be funny.
But
thank you for having us on. We love you guys. So it's really an honor to be on the show.
Well, thank you.
We love y'all more.
No.
Okay, I'll take it.
But thanks for all everybody of us for here. Watching. Thanks everybody for tuning in for this week's Dose of Taint. And wherever you are out there, we hope you leave just a little bit more insane than you were when you first got here. From all of us here at the Black Tower, I've been your Sorvon Mihail, Josh.
And I've been your daddy Mihail this time for the jokes. Your daddy Mihail, your Bajan Mihail, Andrew. And thank you all so much for tuning into this episode, and we will see you again next week for the next episode.